laptops, thumb drives, and a wall charger. A sure sign that our nerd is here again. And now, it's time for Computer Talk Radio with Benjamin Rockwell.
The things we have on this week's Computer Talk Radio. Steve Keske and I are going to talk about boys and their high-tech toys. Dr. Doreen Galley is going to talk to me about the G2E. That's the Global Gaming Expo, where gambling tech is sold. Keith McIntyre and I are going to talk about our experience. Well, my experience with iOS 26. And Mark is going to visit the Plaid NotePen for an update. On the Scam Series, Jay asks me a question. After the port of a mobile number, a scammer comes calling. Jim, he's got a question. How much of my routine app data is being tracked? Trevor, how can emerging tech be balanced against our creativity? And Rich, what's with internet service providers advertising, quote, fiber-like speeds? But in reality, the speeds will vary. And coming up next, Alfred Poor joins me, looking and sounding good in meetings. And that's a very key item for all of us in today's modern work environment. Of course, if you have any questions, you can go to the website at computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. Of course, if you've got a question, you want to phone me, 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373, 888. If I don't answer, leave a message. I will get back to you with answers to your computer questions and your technology concerns. So let's dive into, I'm going to spend just a moment or two on the news. And this was a really rough week for news. And there were a few different distractions. Apparently, Amazon Prime Big Deal Days, whatever you want to call it. There was tons of news about that, except a lot of it was how you could save money on this, that, or the other thing. And by now, of course, my reporting on any of that is worthless. So, yeah, we were just plagued by that. I saw a gazillion news items about a new Apple TV Plus show. That's not really thrilling for me, and I don't know that it's thrilling for us to talk about that on the radio. And then, yeah, there's a number of them talking about the battery life of the iPhone 17 Pro Max and all of that, and how Apple banned an app that simply archived various immigration customs enforcement officers, where they're at and where they're going and all of that. And then another recurring one, can your mouse spy on you? And apparently there's this one mouse out there that can pick up all kinds of different things based off of a sensor that they've got and stuff like that. And there's California's latest privacy law about how browsers are going to handle tracking. Okay, all of that kind of seemed to be a big snooze fest. The one other big thing, and look, I go through a lot of articles every week. The other big one was one that we've been talking about for far too long, and yet I'm going to spend the rest of this segment just talking to you about Windows 10. Windows 10 is getting the life pulled on it just a matter of a few days from now. On October 14th, Microsoft is going to stop releasing updates for Windows 10. And this is something that I know a lot of people talk to me about this. Windows 10 has been around for a very long time as far as operating systems go, and it's still top of the heap. The latest numbers that I saw indicated it is running right about half of the Windows machines. When you consider that there are other Windows operating systems other than Windows 11, it's still not a great news for Microsoft. Microsoft did do something. They made a requirement that it had that your hardware had to have TPM 2.0. Otherwise, you couldn't upgrade from Windows 10 to Windows 11. Now, this is a security feature. This is something that is supposed to help lock down your computer and protect it from hackers and things like that. So there is some value to having TPM 2.0, and there's some value to having the latest updates from Windows 11. And as it evolves, and as we're waiting for whatever the next version of Windows is, and in recent months, the updates for Windows 11 have been, the last couple of releases have been lackluster, kind of boring. And so we're all sitting here wondering what's happening next. We haven't even heard of Windows 12. I've talked about this a bit. A matter of Windows 12 could have really pulled them together and really been something wonderful to give as an option instead of Windows 11, which still is a rough one. So what do you do? What are your options if you want to stay with Windows 10? And there are a few different directions you can go in. One of the big ones is you can actually shove this down the line. There are a number of different options for paying for additional security updates. I really don't like the idea of paying for security updates, but I don't like the other option of not having those. Now, Microsoft does allow you to do a few different things. You can jump through some hoops. You can activate Microsoft Backup, and this kind of shifts a lot of the stuff over to, yes, Microsoft Cloud Services. Do we really want that? I don't know. You can also spend 1,000 in Microsoft Rewards points. I'm not sure that that's any better than sending them $30. And this is something that is an option for you. Of course, upgrading your hardware. You can go on to a new system and you can take that jump over to Windows 11 and you'll still get those security updates and all of that. And there are, if you look around on the internet, there are things that Microsoft, they don't officially recommend it, but there are ways to load Windows 11 and actually have it work, and it's a downgraded version of Windows 11 that doesn't have the security features in regards to that TPM 2.0 and a few other things like that. These are things that I don't suggest doing, especially since you're going to be loading third-party software to get around this. Something that I really, really would advise against. And I've talked about the other option, and I'm going to give it to you right now, and that is switch over to Linux. Switch over to another version of an operating system and just explore the world that is out there that is the alternative operating system to Windows. Linux is a big, huge jump for most people. Linux is not just one distribution out there. It is not just one option. It is something that you're going to spend time chasing after. You're going to have some level of a desire to experiment, to explore, to find out what it does it, and how it differs from Windows 10. This is something that I don't recommend this for the faint of heart. If you are struggling with installing basic software, this is going to be a bigger jump and it might not be something you want to do. Last up is doing something that we have seen people do for a number of different versions of Windows over the years. And we've been seeing this all the way on back. I think I remember people not wanting to move off of Windows 98. I remember people not wanting to move off of Windows XP or Windows 7. And what they did was they said, you know what? I'm going to make sure I've got a good antivirus software on there. I'm going to make sure my programs are up to date. And I'm going to be very careful about what I do online. I'm going to go through and I'm going to take all of these different extra steps to protect myself, to protect my data, to protect my computer. And this is something that you may decide to do. Just because Windows 10 is at end of life, just because they're not releasing security updates any longer, does not mean that everything is done and over with, that your system come this this Tuesday is just going to die on you. It's going to, you know, turn off and never turn back on again. It is something you're going to have to deal with, and it's unfortunate, and I wish we had better options than all of these that I've laid out for you, but this is kind of the facts of life. We move on to bigger and better operating systems, or, well, different operating systems, and that's the way it goes. Alfred Poor is coming up next. He's going to help us with some good tips in regards to, yes, meetings and presenting yourself well. That'll be next here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off, you take really good care of your listeners.
The phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888. You can reach out to me anytime with that number. You're not limited to just when we're on air. I want to take your computer questions, your technology concerns, and answer them. So if I don't answer, that's okay. Leave a message. I will get back to you. Alfred Poor joins me now. He is the founder of the 75% solution. And this is something that is really becoming increasingly more of something we're dealing with on a regular basis. But I'm not going to intro this. I'm going to let you go ahead and describe what this is. Alfred, go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Ben. Basically, the 75% solution comes, the name comes from a Gartner report.
And yeah.
What they've said is that 75% of all business meetings in the U.S. are going to be held online. Now, that's internal and external meetings.
75%?
So, yeah.
Okay.
But for some of us, like you and me,
yes,
it's a whole lot more than that. I mean, I like to point out that if I had to come to your studio,
yes,
to do this interview, it wouldn't happen.
Right. Yeah. Right. We're what, 1,200 miles apart or something like that?
Something 1,000. Like that.
Yeah.
So the issue is basically I blame the pandemic for this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that it was so easy to do video conversations with people. You already had a laptop, it had a microphone and a camera and speakers. Skype or Zoom, you didn't have to have any technical ability. You just turn it on and open it up and you can talk to people.
Sure.
The problem is that people are not as intentional about how they come across online,
mm-hmm,
as they would be if they were walking, meeting with people in person.
Yes.
The way I love to put it is we've all seen executives who bring them into a boardroom and they just kill it. They've just convince everybody that they're right. You put them up on stage and they just have the audience eating out of their hands.
Yes.
You take that same executive, you put them on a Zoom call and it looks like they've joined witness protection.
Yes, yes. They're backlit. You can kind of see there's somebody on screen, and the message is kind of garbled, and because they've got a bad microphone. Yeah, I've seen some of those.
So the basic my fundamental principles are: you need to be seen, you need to be heard, and you need to minimize distractions.
Yes, yes, very much now, so.
This is not unique to online. I mean, I'm sure you've been to conferences like I have, where it's some big ballroom and they've set the podium off to the side in the shadows and you can't see the speaker and the sound system sounds like it was borrowed from some airline terminal. And then there's conversations going in the back of the room where people are selling stuff at tables.
Yes, yes.
But it's harder with online because we're not trained to be as intentional about how we come across.
Yeah.
The pandemic, it just made it too easy to just start talking. And so you end up with people who have a big giant head filling the screen. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at you. Mm-hmm. And the sound may or may not be all that great. So I try to help people understand, first of all, you know, is the image that you're projecting here, is that congruent with your personal, your professional brand? Is it on message for your company? Is that what, if you were thinking about it, is this what you would want people to see? And a lot of times the answer is no. I mean, one of my favorite little things is that friends don't let friends use Zoom virtual backgrounds.
Very true. Okay.
Right? Because number three, minimize distractions.
Yes.
You and I don't have this particular problem, but people with long hair, when you have even just a blurred background with Zoom, it looks like you've gone to Waterworld. It swirls around, it disappears.
Even with my bald head, it still will do that. So I avoid all of the backgrounds. I avoid any of the blurring for my work background. People can see a computer. They can actually see, well, they see my broadcast microphone, but they see some audio panels that are in the background, which are just space scenes, which works out because I'm in IT, but yeah.
Even a blank white wall in most cases would be better than putting up that shot of the moonscape behind you or the beach with the surf coming in. I mean, just, you know, if nothing else, hang a sheet. But I'll tell you, I'll share quickly one of my $30 secrets about how you can solve this. Go on Amazon and look for photographic backdrops.
Yes, yes.
For $20 to $30, you get this cloth backdrop that could be a brick wall, it can be a bookshelf, it can be weathered boards. I mean, there's a lot of choices. It doesn't cost that much. And then you go get one of those, go down to Walmart, get one of those rolling coat racks.
Sure.
You just hang it on that behind you.
Yes,
and
yes.
And that will look much better than just about any virtual background that you can do without investing a bunch more money and time.
Sure.
So, it's the cheapest, easiest way to get a consistent background behind you that's easy to see.
Yes.
The other end of things is how you appear, how you're seen. And again, we're all familiar with that giant head not looking at you, which is, if we met in person and I was that close to you and not looking at you, you would think I'm probably a little weird.
Yes, right? Yes.
Because there's a professor out of Berkeley who's done a lot of research on virtual meetings, and he's found that when you're that big, it feels like you're invading the person's space.
Sure.
And they're going to want to start backing off, which is exactly the opposite thing that you want. You want people leaning in to the conversation and engaging. So he found that the more of your torso that's shown, the more engaging, the more trustworthy, the more approachable you are. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I love to tell people, don't listen to what the professor says. Don't listen to what I say. Just go watch your favorite news channel.
Yes. Right? Yeah, very, very valid. Yes.
Are they framed like a big giant head? No. Almost everybody you'll see will be framed so there's a little gap at the top. Mm-hmm. So they're not cutting off the top of their head. Mm-hmm. But they're not way down at the bottom, looking like a little old lady who can't see over the dashboard. Yeah. And then at the bottom of the frame, it's going to be somewhere either below the bottom of the ribs to the top of the belt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gives you a much more natural, approachable image that people are going to relate to.
What about for audio?
For audio, one of the big problems is the room, the sound of the room. Mm-hmm. I know you have a strong audio background, but you know, think about recording something in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's a very hard room, and the sound bounces all over the place.
Yes.
And so you want to eliminate that. You want a quieter setting. Now, sometimes you don't have a choice, but bringing in some cushions can help, you know, more carpet. There are things you can do. But one of the best things to do is get a microphone that's very directional. Mm-hmm. So it's looking, it's listening just to you and not all the things around it. One of my favorites for this is the Blue Yeti mic.
Very nice mic. Yes.
It's the gold standard. I used it for many, many years before switching over to my current set.
Yeah. Any other items that we missed in there?
Oh, it goes on and on and on. You know, what you wear makes a difference.
Sure.
Again, you know, if you show up in a t-shirt and cutoffs, that's not necessarily the impression you want to give. But also, if you have something with a fine pattern, it can set up moire patterns that are going to slip around.
We go back to Johnny Carson. He did that a lot on television back in the day. That is Alfred Port. Alfred, would you give out the website where people can find out more information on the 75% solution?
Absolutely. It's the www.the75%.com. And so that's T-H-E and then the numeral 75 and then percent.com. The 75%.com.
Very cool. This is Benjamin Rockwell. That is Alfred Poor. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
The phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. Keith McDonough joins me now. What do you have for us this week, Keith?
Well, Benjamin, it has been a minute, and I do mean just a little more than a minute, since Apple dropped the liquid glass-looking operating system that is iOS 26. In fact,
yes.
By the time our listeners are listening to this, they've already released that third Octet security patch of 26.0.1. And I believe for the beta users out there, they're already on 26.1 dot something or other. And I know that you are an early adopter, which means you are like Maverick in Top Gun and you fly by the seat of your pants. So I want to know, what is your iPhone like running iOS 26?
Okay. Well, this is probably the latest that I've gone with any of the iOS series of any of the releases over the years.
I'm going to sit over here and sing Kenny Loggins dive into the danger zone from Top Gun? Well, you can tell me about it. Or maybe I won't.
No, don't do that. Okay. So I will tell you that it is different in a few different ways. It's not what I would have done. I'll tell you, one of the things that I was initially concerned about is I do have an older phone, and I was concerned about the battery in the early beta versions. Every time I've gone to a brand new version, you know, pre-release, hey, this is, you know, we're in July, this is what we're going to be releasing in September kind of thing, I've had battery issues. So first off, I waited till very late in the game. But I am on the latest 26.1 beta 1 or 2. I can't remember which one it is. So initially, I've been tinkering around with the glass, the liquid glass. Liquid glass. I'm not a fan.
Let me interject this one thought, and then I want to ask you about it, Benjamin. Because when Tim Cook and his team described it, I was more interested in it on the Mac side of things than the mobile device side of things, because I actually have a fairly recent iPad. It's not my primary iPad. It's actually newer than my primary iPad, that I threw 26.01 on. And other than some slight cosmetic differences, functionally, I'm not seeing any difference. And whereas there was a night and day difference between the old classic Mac operating system, the way it looked, up through OS 9, and what Aqua was, which is supposed to be very similar looking to the liquid glass, I don't see liquid glass having that radical change look that Aqua had to the classic Mac OS in this version. You know, we went from supposedly an all flat looking, you know, non-skeuomorphic design to this liquid glass look. And frankly, I'm not impressed. What about you, Benjamin? What do you think?
I on the iPhone, I'm not impressed. It is just different enough to say that they changed it, and just different enough so that it can be rather annoying at times. So I'm in here and I open up my email and I had this down to a slimline set of settings where I could put about 9 emails all stacked on top of each other, you know, the low distance and all of that. And it is back up now to, I can see 7 of them. And okay, that is, they've chewed up a lot more space up at the top. There is a distinct amount of space in between each email. So that's just a little unnerving when I'm dealing with it. I do like the search bar all the time down at the bottom. It's always, in, you know, whether we're talking about in Safari or we're talking about in email or we're talking about in iMessage. Okay, so it kind of works in that regard. But even in iMessage, they're taking up a lot more space for I'm in iMessage right now and I'm looking at your face and your info, and that takes up a lot more vertical distance than it used to. Now, it does kind of float there instead of it being a bar across the top with your info and things like that. And then if I go to the group of messages that I have, it's, again, giving me less information on the screen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8 And then the ninth, which is my three favorites up at the top. And
okay,
I think there were more there before.
We'll talk about this more in our upcoming episodes. But real quick, because I was talking to my daughter about this week. Do you think Apple is doing the BlackBerry cautionary tale here, where BlackBerry kind of reached the pinnacle of their design and then just rested on their laurels, and Apple learned from that, and so now they're just doing change for the sake of change without making it really better or improved? Do you think they're doing that?
I feel like there's some element to this. I think you're pretty close there, and I'm trying, in the time that I've been doing this, working with this for however many weeks now, it just doesn't thrill me. And that is a problem for Apple that they need really need to counter. But as for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Cedar.
And we'll talk about this more next week. I'll be back with more Computer Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs, where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. I will answer your computer questions, your technology concerns, whatever they may be. Marty Winston's out this week, so Mark Brownstein's filling in. And Mark, welcome back.
Thank you. It's a different thing now, because I think now you can hear me.
Yes.
First time was not good.
It was similar to, from memory, it was like somebody dialing in with their phone. There was we had some discussions about microphones after we came off of air. And what did you discover from that?
Well, what I discovered was that what I had, the headphones were awful. And Marty helped me get a good Audio-Technica microphone. Does it sound a little bit better to you?
Yes, it does. At times when you close in on the microphone, it gets actually that very rich tone to it. It's something called the proximity effect, which is...
Yes.
I use that actually on a regular basis here on the show.
Okay. Well, this one is now called... It's an ATEDU25. It's an education pack that is still available on Amazon. Comes with the headphones, comes with the bass, comes with two USB cables.
Okay.
Not the latest model, but how much do they change? So this one has an obsolete mini USB connector.
Oh,
can't
really?
Plug it into anything today.
Okay. Yeah.
But it had a connector to plug into a hub or a computer, the USB connector. So I plugged it into the computer. It's working just fine.
Okay, good.
And so these microphones don't change a whole lot. They don't send a lot of data to the computer. And from, 5 years ago to today, I don't think there's much difference, and it works just fine.
Yeah, yeah. It is interesting. Yes, microphones have evolved far more slowly than a lot of the technology surrounding them.
Right. There's not, I don't know if there's a whole lot you can do to it. Change a different arrangements, cardioid and other things. You can change dynamic. There are things you can change to them. But in a professional type of microphone, there's not a whole lot I don't think it can change. And if they did, would you go out and buy something that has a 3-foot range instead of a 24-inch range? I don't know.
Yeah, no, because so the microphones, they all work on under the basic similar principles. They're converting, of course, the sound waves into electrical waves that go through the system. There are minor improvements, and yes, along the way, there are expensive microphones that kick out completely different sound. But even as we've moved in that direction, we're starting to see software that can take the microphone that I'm using right here and emulate other microphones automatically just because they have a certain sound character to them. They have a certain different way of how everything from the metal that's used or plastic, the grill, the foam inside, all of it affects and colors the sound just a little bit.
Of course. But in terms of what we're doing here, would you really need that much better microphone?
No, for what we're doing here, this is actually, you're coming through, nice and clear. There's, critically speaking, there's probably a little bit of, room noise that's going on, like a little bit of an echo. That happens. That happens anytime anybody is outside of a studio. I actually put a few hundred dollars into my own studio here just to control the sound. It's actually my own office. I utilize this as my own personal office space within the house.
Yeah, I haven't put up any anechoic foam, stuff that soaks up all the noise and doesn't let anything come back.
Yes.
I don't know that I need it yet.
No. This is something that the different foam companies that are out there, there's a ton of them. Oralex is the big one out there that I've used for a number of years. But most people would not ever think of doing that. It's an interesting approach to reducing all of the different echoes and bounces of sound coming through the room. So this is
a major investment.
Yes, indeed. So now this is the AT-EDU-25. Now, the microphone that's on that is specifically the AT-2005 USB microphone.
That's correct.
Yeah. So have you done much recording with it?
Just on the show.
Just here,
I haven't really done much else. Yeah. Just there.
So I'm thinking it sounds pretty good. What is the price point that we're talking about for this?
I think it's about $129 for the set.
Okay. It
comes with a headphone, comes with a microphone, comes with a bass. And for that price, I guess if I was a school and wanted to educate with it, I think it's a good deal. For what I'm doing here, it's a good deal.
Yeah. It is amazing how things have changed for years. You had to spend a few hundred dollars just for the microphone. In this case, it's coming with everything you need there. The headphones, a bass, couple of USB cables. It's a brilliant direction to go in.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's nice to be able to get something like this.
Yes, definitely. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Mark Brownstein guesting in for Marty Winston. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I will be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround.
In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com.
The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, everybody they can, and they've got all kinds of different tricks up their sleeves. Jay reached out to me, and he received a message after porting over his cell phone from one carrier over to another. And the message reads along these lines. I'm going to change out the phone number here. We noticed that there's been no activity on your new lines of service. To avoid disruption of your service, please call us at this number to confirm this account is still needed or if you're having trouble with your service. All right. So it was he went over to Verizon. And this number purports to be Verizon. Well, it's not. And it is a phishing scam or some level of a scam that's involved here. Fortunately, we flagged Jay off of calling them back, and that's a good thing. And I do this all the time. If you think you're getting wrapped up in a scam, feel free to reach out to me. And I'll tell you if it's a scam, and I'll give you guidance. In this case, the phone number was easily looked up, and it was some kind of a Verizon named scammer. But there's something weird about the name, which should be an alert for anyone. This is something that does happen. I have seen this in the past. When you change numbers over to a new carrier, there's a little bit of information that's shared amongst all of the carriers, these different MVNOs that are out there. And an MVNO is, well, that's an acronym for a mobile virtual network operator. And this is all about all of the different numbers that are existing out there and things like that. And everybody gets a list. All of these different lists out there. So you might imagine this as, so there's hundreds of these MVNOs out there. So yes, there can be some MVNO. My name is Benjamin, so I'm going to make a fake name here. Benjamin's Cell Service Incorporated. Okay, that could just be one. And I'm sitting out there and I just monitor all of these things and then I get a hold of that number and I get some level of tacit authorization to port it over to my MVNO. And it looks right. It looks like it's okay. It looks for a while like everything's going good. But I charge you different rates and I mess around with things like a scammer would. This is something we all need to watch out for. We need to be very careful on every interaction we take. Anytime we're setting up services with a new cell phone provider, we're going to a new bank, we're not familiar with any of the different things that might be going on behind the scenes. We don't know how they get our information. We can have a decent idea. But in that set of transactions that we're doing, things can be a little bit disruptive from us. We look at something, we think, hey, it looks like the right name, and I'm not familiar with the logo, so I'm going to just go ahead and say okay, and I'm going to call them up. Don't do it. Don't give in to this kind of scam. Just move on. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows the Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.
Yeah, he's our favorite nerd. And now, it's time for Computer Talk Radio with Benjamin Rockwell.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. We are radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact your life, my life, all of our lives. The website, of course, is ComputerTalkRadio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. You can also do the podcast, and you can check all of the news items. Again, ComputerTalkRadio.com. Of course, the phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888. And that is, of course, a great way to reach out to me. If I don't answer, that's okay. Leave a message. I will get back to you with answers to your computer questions and your technology concerns. Steve Keske joins me now. And what do you have for us this week?
Boys and their toys.
Okay.
Now, that's a very old saying.
Yes, yes.
But it's still true.
Yes.
Only the toys now are high tech.
Yes. I mean, along the way through my life, yes, sometimes the toys would be hot rods, various cars out there. And
I never went that way.
And I know some people have gotten into various hobbies along the way. Of course, tech is more of a super hobby. It has evolved into quite a bit more of a way of life for most people. We are all of us, and this applies to, yes, the men, but also the women out there. And we all find a certain fascination, most of us, with tech. Did you have any particular toys in mind you wanted to talk about?
Well, I just happened to have a couple of new toys on my list.
Yes. Are these ones, is this like a wish list or is this just a fascination list? You're like, wow, this is an interesting one.
Well, I got myself a TV set that now talks to me. The remote does.
It talks to you.
Yes.
Okay.
It tells me what channel I am while I'm watching, and then it goes through a whole bunch of buttons.
That's really cool. That is something that, of course, is quite useful for someone who's legally blind. I'll tell you, that would be kind of cool. I'm sitting at my desk in my office, and I have a 43-inch screen. You know, it has a microphone button on it. I bet you this is probably Alexa-enabled or something like that.
Yeah.
And I know they've existed for a while. For me, I don't find as much fascination in it. But, you know, there are people out there that would. So I get it. Do you use it?
I use it all the time.
Yeah, so you tell it to change channels or switch to one of the apps on there or what?
Yeah, you got that right.
Okay.
And it does a good job.
Nice.
Sometimes it's a little confusing.
Okay, yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
And then I got myself another toy.
Yes.
I have a voice activated, well, not activated, but I got a scale that talks to me.
Okay. Now that's something that's been around. But I like the idea. I mean, you're thinking about the technology that's involved there. Yeah. And that's actually been something been around for a long time in the blind community. And one of the things I talk about every once in a while, I mean, you're on here on the show and you're legally blind. One of the things that we go back in my life, my grandmother was legally blind. So my grandmother had talking watches and a lot of different things along the way that she used to better her life. And some of that has been delivered in the mainstream. I'm sure that talking scale, I've seen them on Amazon. I'm sure that this is far more frequent out there.
Well, I use it every morning, and it tells me your weight is.
Yeah.
And then I get off of it, and I wait about 10, 15 seconds, and it says, powering down.
If I stood on a talking scale, it would probably tell me only one person at a time or something like that. Yeah.
No, it's a really good thing to have.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking on a previous show about chat boxes, bots.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm really thinking about that, too, because that would be nice, you know, especially when there's nobody around to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk to myself because it's the most interesting conversation I can have lately.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, the level of chatbots that has come out. And this is, let me preface this by saying that OpenAI only released ChatGPT 2 years and 10 months ago, roughly. I don't remember the exact point in time, and everybody built from there. We didn't really deal with a whole lot for a while, and chatbots, ChatGPT is really a chatbot, as we discussed on that segment, but we're seeing a distinct rise of AI everywhere. So what you're describing there is in the latest smartphones and tablets and so forth.
Way.
But there's a lot to that.
Sure.
What's another area that kind of fascinates you in tech?
Oh, in tech?
Yeah. What's another toy that sounded really cool that you might have recently heard about?
Not so much really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some really weird type of devices still out there.
Yeah.
Running.
There always will be. I've come across so many things over the years. And every once in a while, I turn around and so running the show here, I have a number of contacts that I've made throughout the industry, and I will say probably, I don't want to say 10%. I'm going to say more like 15% of the items that come across my desk, my virtual desk and via email. I look at them and I go, who thought that would be a good idea? And I get offers, oddly enough, I get a lot of offers to review the items of who thought that would be a good idea. And I get a lot less offers of, hey, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So
the one that really made me laugh.
Yeah.
Was the one I saw where a guy had invented a pair of shoes where you're walking down the street and when you get up to a corner, if you're legally blind like I am, it will point in your direction of where you're wanting to go.
Okay, yeah.
And arrows on the toes.
Yeah, yeah. We saw that at CES some 7 years ago,
eight years ago. But it made me going, and why would somebody want one of these?
Well, it's the GPS abilities, and some people are very directionally challenged, and other people, you know, I think about this. I don't know for sure, but I would think that people who are visually impaired would actually be less directionally challenged because there's so much that they have to figure out in their mind as far as where they're going versus visually. But I don't know for sure.
Well, in my case, my case, it started out when I was a kid.
Okay.
Because I could still see, but I was a little kid, and my father would say, go to this or this place or that place or walk through the woods.
Yeah.
And you would have to navigate places.
Sure.
And because that, and you got used to being able to build.
Yeah.
Literally build maps in your brain.
Yes.
Of things.
Yes.
I came, getting into a car and saying, well, this is where I want to go. Okay, where you want to go up here and turn right.
You know.
And they say, and you're what, legally blind, but you understand, you know. And
sure.
I'm saying, yeah, well, you know, if you drive this route so many times.
Yeah.
It gets, you know, normal.
When I was young, I my mother did the same thing for me. Had me say, okay, how do we get home from here? And I would give the directions, and that stuck with me in life. I can get anywhere I've ever been before. If I've been there one time, I can figure out, drop me in that same city, I can get there.
Yeah.
As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Steve Keske. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, rack man!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. computertalkradio.com. The phone number 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373-888. You can reach out to me anytime. If I do not answer, leave a message. I will get back to you. Of course, I'm here to answer any of your computer questions and your technology concerns, whatever they may be. Dr. Doreen Galley joins me, and Doreen, you said you were going to something called G2E this week, and I recall we talked about it, but it had another name. What is it again?
The expanded name would be the Global Gaming Expo. So
two G's. Okay, so G2E. Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right, I like that. And I cut you off. I'm sorry. Anything?
Yeah, anything and everything you would want for a casino or the gaming industry.
Okay. All right. That leaves a lot of different things. So what do they have there? Is this like just a bunch of slot machines and blackjack tables and roulette wheels, or does it go beyond that?
Oh, it was beyond that. Actually, I have a favorite quote.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a Toastmaster habit to have a favorite quote.
Yeah.
Some of the booths were impressively well made.
Okay.
So there was anything you'd want for a casino. And one aspect of a casino are high roller rooms, which are exceptionally decadent. So they had booths with marble floors and marble walls and the most comfortable seats. And I mean, it was just decadent, but it was a booth exhibit at a conference.
I am trying to wrap my brain around this because, you know, I go to the tech expos, you know, and
my jaw dropped.
And yeah, it's a bunch of, you know, LED OLED TVs and stuff like that, and you know, big blue lights and all of that.
But marble
walls and floors in a booth, that would be very interesting. And I imagine, okay, I've got this idea of some casino owner walking through, and of course, what does he want to do? He wants to see what his casino could look like.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
That's exciting.
Even if you want to know what they're going to be wearing, there is people who sell uniforms. There was chairs. Now, that's not technology. So admittedly, didn't grab that. But
okay.
I have an expo hall walkabout. So every conference is different what permissions they give you.
Yeah.
And this one, of course, I had to get everyone to sign the slip, which I always do. But they were very explicit that that was required, even if it wasn't my process.
Yeah.
And they had big signs up, don't record or get kicked out. But I did get in writing the approval to do a walkabout as long as I didn't zoom in on any of the exhibits. And I gave them the examples. So mm-hmm, I got permission mm-hmm. to do a walkabout while it was open. And you could probably catch some of these beautiful booths. But you'll notice there's all kinds of tech that we might have covered at other events, right? So mm-hmm. there was Sion is one of the videos that's flying. And we first covered them in FinTech Meetup, a FinTech conference in 2024.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's why their video is flying off the charts. So that was exciting.
Yeah.
There was definitely some physical cybersecurity technology like we saw at ISC West.
Okay, yeah.
We had the anti-fraud from Sion. There was one of the other technologies that was the videos that's taking off is this they're called Radius Labs, and they have this custom rugged hardware. And so if you know, it's like a server in a box uh-huh. that you can custom design however you want it. And it can be in a sandstorm or anything. And no matter where you go, it's good to go. Because one of the tricks is a lot of these iGaming is getting very popular. But iGaming has to have, for most countries, the gaming data has to stay. Like even Nevada, the gaming data has to stay in Nevada.
Okay.
If you go to some of these remote countries, the gaming data has to stay in the country.
Okay.
And so they're looking for data centers in remote places. They're looking for rugged servers they can put in remote places. There was a technology, too, that does instant language communication. So you talk on the walkie-talkie, mm-hmm. but it's a cloud-based software walkie-talkie. So I talk in English and it comes out to you in Spanish if you speak Spanish.
Okay.
Or I talk in Mandarin. Yeah, I talk in Chinese, whatever dialect of Chinese I speak.
Sure.
Mandarin's written, so it wouldn't be Mandarin, of course.
Okay.
But whatever dialect I speak, when I speak into it, it comes out your walkie-talkie in your language.
So this will start breaking down some of the barriers. So when we get in Las Vegas, for instance, where you're at, when we get gamblers from foreign countries, we've got a way to communicate with a lot more people. And especially when, if somebody is coming from China to gamble in Las Vegas, they're going to be a high roller, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but even within your workforce, there's people in the workforce
that speak different
languages.
Definitely, yes.
And so for security above and beyond gaming, this was a great technology. And it was actually one that also had that rugged encapsulation. So, of course, my question is, are you coming to Con Expo next year? Because this looks like it would be so construction-oriented, and they are.
Yeah, okay.
The rugged server did not come to Custom UAV Expo because the Commercial UAV Expo, because they said, well, it's commercial and we do gov. And I said, well, commercial kind of meant not hobby.
So I kind of
expanded on that for them. But they're going to look at it and check it out. So it should be fun. But it's always fun helping people, know when there are other events that also might be exciting or looking for their products and their capabilities. But
so with G2E, I get this instant vision in my mind of Ocean's 13, Bernie Mac goes to sell a new gaming thing at a convention. I presume this is a very similar kind of thing. So you got to see all kinds of different things. What about the tech? I know there's high tech in the poker chips. The casino chips, rather, I should say.
Yeah, I wasn't able to capture that. There was also some tech I was looking for that I couldn't find.
Yeah.
Because I know that there is vision tech embedded in many of the machines.
Yeah.
That doesn't just allow you to play without having to physically present your player card, but more specifically, it also watches your eyes for a fight or flight response. And I was looking for tech in this space that was looking for player safety.
Yeah.
And that was the one tech I really wanted to find that I had a hard time finding in the expo hall.
Interesting. And I
did find some cringe tech, but, you know, I always look for cringe tech.
Okay, tell me about what is the cringe tech, the most cringy thing you saw there?
Player engagement is good, except in gaming, when you're referring to player engagement, sometimes the engagement could be because a person has an issue.
Okay.
And generally,
gambling addictions or stuff like that.
Gambling addiction, the fight or flight response. If you have a fight or flight response and you're playing a game, there's a problem. It's supposed to be for fun.
Yeah.
Money's on the line, but it's supposed to be for fun. If you think it's life or death, get out.
That's the first
sign of a problem. And it can be detected through your eyes. And I know that technology exists, but I couldn't find them on the floor. I was looking for that player safety, but I didn't find it. But it was my first time covering this conference. And so that always takes you time to get familiar and to find it. But I know it exists. But there was player engagement, but not, I didn't find the player safety.
Okay. So we've got about a minute left. Let me ask you one more thing. What was the strangest thing that you saw there that you were like, I wouldn't have expected anything like it, this?
Christmas decoration company.
Oh, okay. I mean, the casinos have to decorate for Christmas.
Exactly.
There's a bunch of mistletoe and holly over a slot machine, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they're big commercial buildings, and the company does significant commercial decorations.
Makes
and they're
sense.
Like, well, they spend money. They make it like it look good. Looks is very important. Hey, there was also gaming law firms and gaming tax firms there. The whole ecosystem.
Nice. All right. We've only got a few seconds left. What are we going to be talking about in the coming weeks?
Next week, I have two events, Mobile World Congress and Smart Retail and Supply Chain Expo. The following week is Money 2020 and Put Data First.
Awesome.
Four conferences in the next 2 weeks.
Website?
TBWAdvisors.com and at TBWAdvisors on YouTube.
This is Benjamin Rockwell.
And Dr. Doreen Galley.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Rich reached out to me. You can do it too. His question, what can I do when the cable advertises fiber-like plans, but the speeds don't make sense? And he called me at 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. And look, I understand this all too well. This is actually a very common question. Again, Rich said, basically, he's dealing with this cable company. They're saying fiber-like speeds, but the speeds aren't really matching up with what he thought. All right, so I'm going to tell you, I've been on fiber for quite a while now. I've been on it twice, and I've been on cable over the course of probably 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there, different cable companies over the years where they're providing, yes, internet access over the cable. And there are kind of differences between the two. And the fiber is generally a speed that is going to be measured in whatever it is, both up and down. And like my plan that I've got right now, it's 1 gig up, 1 gig down, and it matches. That's because fiber operates differently than cable. Cable, they've told me that they can give me at my home, the cable company said, oh, it's just like fiber. You're going to do just fine. But their speeds are a half gig down and 30 meg up. Actually, I think they just updated it to like 50 meg up. But it's a different kind of world with that. Well, in my case, I do a lot of uploads. I'll tell you, I upload my radio show every week to the internet, both in the form of the podcast, but also for all of the different stations that are out there. And there's a few different variations on how we load this out to the radio stations. So I have to upload a number of different versions of my radio show at radio broadcast quality. So I need those upload speeds. I also do appreciate the idea that with that kind of upload-download speed, we get better latency times, lower numbers with latency. Now, cable company and a number of the different internet service providers, I'm not going to just pick on cable, a lot of different internet service providers out there will utilize qualifying language. They'll say up to a gig down. And this doesn't actually reflect the full time, anytime you use it, speed. This doesn't take into consideration the thing like peak times. It doesn't take into consideration any kind of thing that you can say is a consistent performance. Then we have other issues that go out beyond this that are going to impact your speed with your internet. And this is the distance from your home out to the local office, and then from there on to the next jump, whether it's straight out to the internet from there or to a regional office and then straight to the internet. And there's a lot of different variations in regards to all of these different infrastructures that they build. So they have to write in a lot of that qualifying language. And that is only part of the issue. So I mentioned this, I've referenced this. We have peak times. And this is a situation where cable is designed differently. They deliver the internet all the way throughout your neighborhood through one cable. And if you've got 50 people all really heavily using the internet in your neighborhood at a peak time, that can actually change your throughput. That can change your latency. That can change a number of different things all the way along. So we then combine this with the idea of you need to run speed tests on your connection on a random basis. Do this a few times a day, every day for a while. Make sure you're using a wired connection. We don't want to get into the wireless part. I'll talk about that here in a moment. But you need to verify whatever plan details that you have. And that can help you set some very realistic expectations. And this is something that you need to track these numbers. You need to write these down. You need to say, I tested it at 7 a.m. I tested it at 4 p.m. I tested it at 7 p.m. And you test this at random points in time during the day. And you want to see if you are getting what you're paying for. And we should all be doing that no matter what service we use. I do that. I've got gig up, gig down with my fiber, and I check it on a regular basis. Probably right now I'm down to checking it about once a week just to validate it, just to make sure I'm getting what I'm paying for. And it's very rare. Actually, the few times that I run into problems, a reset of my hardware within my house, resetting my mesh network and my modem, all of a sudden bumps it right back up. It fixes the problem. Easy peasy. I will note that there is one other thing that people need to be aware of, and this is that your router and your modem hardware may not support the highest advertised speeds that are on your service provider. So if you have gig up, gig down, but you have 802.11n, which is really old version of Wi-Fi, it goes back whatever it is 10-15 years, you're not going to get gig up, gig down. For gig up, gig down, you need, I believe it is it's one of the sixes. I don't believe it's straight six. I believe it's the next one up from there, but that gives you an idea. I want you to really think about this from the aspect of different providers are going to deliver differently. And sometimes the problem is them. Sometimes the problem is your neighbors. Sometimes the problem is your plan. And sometimes it's your own hardware. So compare it out. Test it out. You've got to really think about, is this what are you getting what you're promised? Or are you running into problems somewhere? And then we need to discuss, what are the fixes from there? This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and how it all intertwines. Trevor had a question. How can emerging workplace technologies enhance human creativity without replacing it? And this is a very good question. This is very valid because we are getting to a point where every time we turn around, there is another different thing that's coming at us. The new tech that everybody says is absolutely amazing. We need to dive into this, and we are at times getting away from human creativity, which is really one of the things that sets individuals aside from others. Modern tools can overwhelm us with a lot of different options. It's just like, you've got a bunch of spices in your cabinet, and you just throw in a bunch of just random spices into your dish that you're cooking in your kitchen, and it can actually really change and blur out the distinct flavor of actually curating the spices that go into a well-cooked meal. Our goal should be to not let technology dictate our creative process. it should be to allow technology to empower us on so many different fronts. We need to ensure, all of us, that human ingenuity remains at the front of everything that we are doing. Yes, there are things we can do all the way along. We can go through and we can do automation. That's great. I am a very big proponent for finding out ways to automate things. But we do need to set boundaries for that automation. We need to figure out which tasks can be automated without impacting any kind of creative process. We need to have hands-on control for anything that involves creativity. Now, we can use all of these different tools that are out there for extensions of our creativity. I want you to think about leveraging software that actually develops plans. It allows you for brainstorming and designing and content creation without taking over all of that creative control. Yes, there are things in AI where you can go and say, give me a picture of this in front of that, you know, and you can say, do these colors, do these logos, whatever it is, and it will do a very nice job, but you've thrown a lot of that into the hands of AI, letting it do the creativity. And AI is not going to be as creative as many of our minds are out there. We may say, hey, that looks good. That looks good enough. But I'll tell you, there are a lot of logo creators out there that will do better than anything that's AI generated. Of course, along the way, we do need to be thinking about collaborative platforms where we use all of these collaborative tools to share ideas and allow us to evolve and iterate quickly through these ideas to really make something that is really awesome. But part of that is making sure that that final decision-making is human-centered. The guidance needs to be going all the way along through that. Additionally, and you know, a lot of this, I should note, I'm talking to creative people. There are times in my tech job where I'm called upon to be creative. There are times when I'm called on to be a nerd. But that's okay. A lot of what I'm saying today is about that creative side. So let's stick with that. We should be investing in learning. And this is something we all need to be doing. Everyone needs to be learning. This is kind of a mantra that I've done over the years. If you are learning, you are alive. If you're alive, you should be learning. And you need to be expanding your knowledge. If you're going down that creative road, if you are in any kind of a creative position, you should be examining both the traditional creative methods as well as the digital tools that are available and out there. You should be working to create a good level of synergy between the two different paths. I know people that stick with, they do drawing, they stick with pencils and old-fashioned paper. And there are people that only deal with digital things like Photoshop, and they work everything through Photoshop. Well, there's a middle ground that I enjoy a lot, and that is I use my Apple Pencil with an iPad, and I can draw on that. And it gives me a lot of control. It stays in that digital realm, but it allows me to operate very much like a middleman between those two different fields. Look, one more thing to throw at you. Encourage diverse inputs. Find out what people like, what they don't like. And if they're creatives, you want to involve team members that have vastly different perspectives so that you make sure that your creativity isn't stifled by just this one single algorithm-like driven approach. You want it to be creative, which means you do have to think outside of the box sometimes. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Jim reached out to me with a question that I'm going to have a cynical answer for. I'm going to tell you this right up front. How much of my routine app data is being used to train or improve algorithms, we can say AI, without me knowing? First off, I do get this. You know, you lend somebody your diary and then you find your private thoughts in someone else's book. And that's just all kinds of creepy. That is all kinds of a recipe for disaster. And my cynical answer right up front is all of it, every single bit of it. No matter how you twist this, no matter how you think about it, if the service is free, then you are the product. This is something we've said many times here on the show. I've had many guests come on. This is something I can't take credit for coining that phrase, but it's out there and it's been out there for a number of years. The idea of shadow data collection, it includes your reading behavior, your preferences, your time spent in the app. They are going to start tweaking things so that they keep you glued to whatever it is that you're looking at or playing or doing. And yes, there are different things out there. Apps have all kinds of different clauses in their terms of service, allowing anonymized or aggregated data usage, but also a lot of these analytics platforms that start looking through all of the things you're doing. I'll tell you, this is one of the things that kind of I'm using Candy Crush as just a placeholder. This applies all the way across. Why does Candy Crush need access to your location, to your contacts, to your photos? There is no reason for all three of those. There's no reason for any of those. But does do that. And I don't know if Candy Crush is doing that now, but I'll tell you, Facebook is probably doing it. And every single app that you've got on your smartphone, even many of the apps that you have on your system, save a few of them. But even if we start talking about like Microsoft Office, what are they doing? Why are they so intent on our files being on their servers instead of our local systems? It's because they can access them. They can go through and they can touch them and they can scan them. And everybody is interested in feeding us ads. We talk about this all the time. The ad presence around our lives is at the highest point it's probably ever been at any point in time in history. And there's a lot of different things where they're having you opt out rather than opting in, which means you load many of these different things and you're included in all of this scanning by default. And part of this just comes from there's a lack of transparency in how anonymization works. There's a lack of transparency in what they're doing with our data, what they're doing with your data, and it's getting harder and harder to track all of this. Knowing what you consent to, using apps from trusted vendors, and limiting permissions can help you a little bit in retaining control over your personal data. Is it going to solve everything? No, but we can at least try. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio, so I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.